for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that we have the privilege of studying your word. Holy Spirit, we look to you for revelation. We look to you for deliverance. Please help us, Lord. You know the condition of our hearts and the time that we are living in. Unveil your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are going to study about a very important theme, the true and the false church. We must know that there is a true church and there is a false church. The most important thing that you must retain and keep in your heart from the study is this one fact, that there is the true church and there is the false church. Even if you don't follow all what I am going to say, know for sure that there is the true church and there is the false church. Not every church is the true church of God. No. Sometimes you may have a denomination, let's say Presbyterian or Assemblies of God or Church of God or Pentecostal, whatever, a denomination, big name, and there are so many other branches underneath, just like our Church of God. And different, all those local churches underneath that denomination, it is not necessary that they are true. And people, without knowing, they can be seated in a false church and end up in a mess. So by the grace of God, let us examine what the Holy Spirit, our Lord, has to say. There are two churches in the world today, the true church and the false church. So that as you follow this study, you may know how to protect yourself and take guard, and that you are not deceived by the false church. And you will know where you are spiritually at any time when you are among people. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 to 4. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed or espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, pure virgin to Christ. Now, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is explaining here that how a false church can come into being. Because he says, I have espoused, I have made you, presented you to be engaged to one husband, Jesus Christ. The word espoused is betrothed, is just the same as engagement. You know the engagement before the marriage? Yes. It is amazing to know what kind of people Corinthians were before they came to know the Lord. Paul gives a big list and he says, some of you were prostitutes, some of you were homosexuals, some of you were lesbians, some of you are idolaters, and drunkards and fornicators and extortioners and all the rest. But now that you were cleansed by the blood of Jesus and brought in near Jesus, you have been transformed. See? And now they have been presented to our Lord Jesus Christ to be engaged to Him. To be engaged to Him. See? as a pure virgin. The church was planted by Paul, the Corinthian church, and he speaks of them as being betrothed or espoused to Jesus, engaged to Jesus. We must understand the biblical culture of that day when Paul is speaking about what means by espoused or betrothed, engaged. You know, in those days, the biblical, the culture, there are two steps. One is betrothal, that is engagement. And the second is marriage. Are you all following? Okay. Now, the first step is the engagement. The second step is the marriage. Engagement is not marriage. Today, in our culture, anybody can get engaged and then remove the ring and then give it back. I'm breaking this off, and you have heard about these things. I'm not getting married to you. I mean, I just want to put a stop. But it was not so in those days. They considered the engagement also holy and sacred, important, prior to marriage, because you commit yourself that you are going to get married further to that person. There? Yes. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Help us, O Holy Spirit, as your presence we acknowledge. Without you we can study nothing, Lord. Nothing. Matthew 1, chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused or betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is really, in their culture, is adultery. That Mary has broken the vows of engagement. Are you listening? Right. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. So you can see here how engagement was so important. The two people commit themselves together and they look forward for the marriage. See, if anyone is unfaithful to that engagement or betrothal, it was treated as adultery, as the actual breaking of marriage vows. It was considered that way. Paul says through the Holy Spirit that the commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, in a sense, is an engagement. When we commit our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, you are exchanging rings and you are engaged to him. Are you there? I feel something when I say this. You are engaged to him. That's what Paul is saying. Now turn with me quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Every born-again child of God who surrendered his life to the Lord Jesus Christ is engaged to the Lord Jesus. Verse 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused or betrothed to you or engaged you to one husband, that I may present you as a pure virgin to Christ. Can you see that? All of us, everyone who is here, you're born again, you have surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been engaged to him. You are betrothed to him. But know for sure, the marriage has not taken place yet. We are not yet married to our Lord Jesus Christ. The marriage is going to take place in the future. Some are beginning to smile as you hear these words. Hallelujah. The marriage, Jesus is looking forward for that day. Now, the celebration of the marriage will take place in the heavenlies. Are you looking forward for that? Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8. Revelation 19, 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give all honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife, who is the wife? All blood-bought children who are waiting for his return, who are engaged to him, who have committed their lives to the Lord Jesus, and not being unfaithful to him. How can anyone be unfaithful to the person who is engaged, loving something else, loving the world and loving other things? Are you remaining faithful? Okay, the wife had made herself ready, verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Fine linen, white linen in the Bible always is a picture of holiness. Holiness. She was dressed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. The righteousness of saints. We know that Jesus Christ is our righteousness. We have received his righteousness. You are recreated, new spirit is in the image of God. Can you say amen? Right. So at the present time, now we are looking forward for this wedding day, and you are engaged. So Paul is saying, hey Corinthians, I gave you to Jesus Christ, and the engagement was finished, and I presented you as a pure virgin. But what's happening now? He's asking. And Paul is saying through the Holy Spirit, this is where the true and the false church separate. This is where the false church is coming into being in this earth. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 3. But I fear, he's talking to the Corinthians. Now you know that they are born again, they are baptized in the Spirit, they were talking in tongues, all that. Remember that. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve, or deceived Eve, through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, the true believers, the true church, they remain faithful. They remain faithfully engaged and waiting for his return, looking forward for the wedding. But the false church, the believers who begin to deviate, distracted and go away from true fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, heart-to-heart fellowship, and these people, they break the marriage vows, the engagement vows, and end up as a harlot. Harlot is a prostitute, an immoral woman. See? So Paul goes on to explain how Christians, born-again Christians, spirit-filled Christians, tongue-talking Christians, can leave Jesus, be deceived, and go in another direction and get away from Jesus Christ. It is possible. Paul is warning not to the heathen people. He is warning to the spirit-baptized Christians, born-again Christians. So how careful you and I must be, especially at this time we are living in. Please listen to the Holy Spirit as he's warning you and me. We are not automatically protected from deception. No. So Paul goes on to say, I feel as by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from simplicity that is in Christ. See that? So Paul says, where the enemy is attacking, where? The mind. The enemy, Satan, is attacking the believers, their minds. Why? To take them to be unfaithful to Jesus Christ. And to make and to break their engagement vows so that they will not get to the marriage. It is possible. It is possible. That's why the Holy Spirit has written these things for us. It is possible for us to be born again and baptized, and then halfway through we see that and we see that man and this thing and that thing, and it gets attracted, and we sell our hearts to that. And then we play a religion on a Sunday. Sing few songs and then just read, and then when they read the scriptures, come get up, and then you know. And we can be deceived. And Paul says, Corinthians, I am frightened. I fear that devil which deceived Eve may deceive your minds also. That you will deviate from Jesus Christ. That you will go away from the true love and faithfulness to him. And that's what is happening in many churches today. And I'm going to show you. Oh Lord, please help me. Please help me. So the process of leading to unfaithfulness and forming a false church is the corruption that begins in the minds. Because he speaks here, the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. So your minds, he never said body, your minds be corrupted by demonic spirits. He says, I feel this, Corinthians. See, satanic spirits can attack believers that once they were so faithful, once they were so doing the ministry, they were so faithful in the church, they were so faithful in the worship team or the music team, whatever, they were so faithful in the prayer team, but then now they have gone down and their heart is far away. So he says, I want to emphasize the simplicity and the purity of the gospel. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is very simple. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Take that over there, please, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's all. Any six-year-old child can understand. Christ died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And he came in the flesh. But many times we preachers make the gospel so difficult. They put all kinds of weights on top of that. And also you have to do this. Plus, 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 plus. That's what they did when Paul was preaching those days. And these Jews of the circumcision group, law group, they will come and they preach another gospel. And then seduce the people. And that's why he has to ask, hey Galatians, what happened to you? Who has bewitched you? Who has fantasized you? Why are you in a coma? How is it that you have just left Jesus and then followed your own soul, your own mind? They were caught by deceiving preachers. So Paul talks, says, the simplicity of the gospel is so simple. And people, preachers or many, make it so difficult. Verse 4, 2 Corinthians 11. I told you, are you listening prayerfully? This is very, very important. I must say, a kind of price that I paid while preparing this. I cannot say what it is. The Holy Spirit knows. Yes. I do not lie. from each shore. So listen carefully. Verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Three things are mentioned over here. A person is coming and preaching another Jesus. A Jesus whose character and power and origin and other thing are not tallying according to the scriptures. You remember Jesus shouted on the day of the feast in the temple, "He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, people believe in all kinds of Jesus. Oh yes, these days is plenty, brothers and sisters. I sometimes wonder which Jesus this person has believed. Paul is talking of another Jesus. It started then. And he is writing to those Corinthians at that time. And Corinthians were born again, spirit baptized, tongue talking people. And the gifts were operating. Because he said in the first chapter of the first Corinthians, you come in no shock of any gift. And he says, oh Corinthians, I fear. He's writing to them. I'm fighting that the same devil that deceived Eve may corrupt your minds and that you will go away from Jesus Christ. Because I presented you to him and made you to be engaged to him as a pure virgin. And he said, anybody comes now with another Jesus, or you believe it, anybody preaches another Jesus, and there are plenty today, Jesus, the character which is not mentioned over here in the Bible. And people when believe that Jesus, they do not receive the Holy Spirit. They receive a deceiving spirit which imitates the Holy Spirit. And they think that they are born again. Are you there? It will make them to believe that they are born again. It's a deceiving spirit. That's why he says, if anybody preaches another Jesus, oh, whom we have not preached, or you receive another spirit which you have not received. So, believing another Jesus which is not of the Bible, and people receive another spirit which is not the Holy Spirit, which takes them to, Paul says, another gospel. Another gospel. You have not accepted another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Can you see that? You see, the moment any preacher changes the Jesus Christ, the character, the origin, the personality that is mentioned in the scriptures, if they preach, dilute and preach another Jesus, those people believing that will receive not the Holy Spirit, they will receive a false, deceiving spirit, which will act like a Christian. That's what is mentioned over there. And they will believe in a different gospel, and they will not be able to receive the true gospel until the mercy of the Lord strikes them and they repent and they are convicted by the Holy Spirit. See? When you change Jesus and cease to present the historical, biblical picture of Jesus Christ, we will receive another spirit, which ends up in another gospel. If anyone was charismatic, the Corinthians were. Please, we should not think that just because we are born again, we know that we are spirit baptized, we speak in tongues, and we come to church on a Sunday, that we are automatically protected from any deception. Nobody is automatically protected. That is our job, to protect ourselves through the Holy Spirit and the infallible Word of God. To remain faithful to the Word of God. And the Lord will help us. whom Jesus said the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will take you to all truth. All truth. See? Now, three versions of another Jesus we're going to see. Number one, some preach a Jesus, a kind of a oriental guru. You heard of guru? In Tamil, they say Sami. And they compare him with Buddha, good religious leader, a good man who lived, never loved his life. They compare him with Krishna and many other, well, leading people. This is the first category. This is actually the New Age movement. Have you heard about that? The New Age movement, which is fighting so hard, and it has infiltrated many churches today. And people are sitting there with New Age movement spirit. You should know this. If you want to really fulfill the call of God in your life before he calls you, you should spend your time studying these things. Get on your knees and ask the Lord before it's too late. Because I'm going to say something, what Jesus said, what will happen these days. Don't take things for granted. Sunday will come and Sunday will go. But what's happening to your spirit? Are you growing week by week, day by day? Is your light is getting brighter and brighter and brighter? Because that's what the word says, Proverbs 4:18. The path of the righteous goes on from brightness to brightness, increasing. Now, the book of Colossians, especially written, you know, God foresees everything. And God gave his truth revealed to Paul. Go with me to the first chapter of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Look at this. Let me go back to verse 14. It's talking of Jesus Christ, in whom, that is Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is he talking of? Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, that's Jesus, were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be of thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The whole universe, the whole planet system, everything operates by the power of Jesus. So that rules out Buddha and Krishna, and the whole rest will have to fall flat on their faces. In fact, the Holy Spirit says through Paul, he is the image of the invisible God. He is God in flesh. God in flesh. He is the one who spoke to Moses. He is the one who said, Moses, get away from these people. I'm going to finish them off. Are you there? People have a different picture of Jesus these days because a different picture is painted for them, preached to them. And they don't want to accept now a different thing from the Bible. Somebody comes and preaches biblically who Jesus is. Oh, said, we never heard like that. We thought God is good. I'm coming to that. I come to that. One-sided Christianity. Now, the New Age movement, having presented another Jesus, taken over, those people are taken over by satanic spirits unawares. See, unawares, without their knowledge, and they have received another spirit. And they go on presenting another gospel. And they look like Christians. You should think that they are Christian. They are not far from it. You should know by just a smell. By just 1-2 minutes talk, you should know. No way they're believing the Lord whom you have believed. Now, because they have changed the personality and the character of Jesus Christ, written in the Word of God, they have received the wrong spirit, the spirit of error, a satanic spirit. Okay, the second version of is very strong with this kind of doctrine. That is the South America. Some of you may know it, the South America. It is known as, listen carefully, the liberation theology. Liberation theology. They call that movement. And they are called Christians. Now, the liberation theology teaches that it is the job of the Christians to resolve the problems, to look after the poor, to solve their problems of the poor, and demands social justice, eliminate the wealthy, and set up a new political order, a new government order. They think that is their job. See? Jesus was never into any of those things. No. He had great compassion for the poor, but he never went into political area. No. This is where the danger comes when the church begins to think that we can divert and form and manipulate or do whatever to take some powers, political powers, and try to expand the kingdom of God through that. No. Jesus never did that. In fact, Jesus never sought to institute any institute or any other social order by force. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight for it. But my kingdom is not of this world. See? See how different it is. So the process of bringing the kingdom of God by armed force is a denial of the teaching of Jesus Christ. You cannot expand the kingdom of God by armed force. No. I know there are some other religions trying to do that. They think they'll have to kill everybody to propagate their religion. You know who they are. All right. Third one. This you all will know. And I know as I say this, you will begin to nod your head. Third type of another Jesus is presented is a universal, like the Father Christmas. That Jesus is like the Father Christmas. He comes and pets everybody. Yes, and taps your back and say, don't worry, child. Everything is going to be all right at the end. Well, time is going to be bad now. That doesn't matter. You're not to worry for anything. You just go as you are, but everything will work out at the end, you know. And very generous and very kind. And don't worry, they say. Oh, don't scare the people, they say. Have you heard about this gospel? Are you out there? Oh yes, brother. Very easy for people to believe. That's why they receive another gospel. That's why when they hear John Hagee on the TV, they switch off. What? He's too hard. Who is he to point the finger and say, repent? True. Because they have been hearing a wrong Jesus.
Are you on there?
My God, there's something happening in somebody's house.
So first presentation is as a guru. The second presentation is that they have to enter into political power and all that to expand the kingdom of God. The third presentation is that, oh, generous, kind, loving, oh, good. You see, you know, he loves you. He looks down from the cross and he's extending his hands. Please, at least for his sake, repent. Oh, my goodness. Not for his sake, your sake. You're going to hell, man.
So it is a very subtle telling people not to worry and a wrong painting of the picture of Jesus Christ. You see, the places where this kind of preaching is given are called liberal churches. Liberal means kind and generous, over generous.
You understand what I'm talking of?
You are so kind enough and generous enough, you do not warn anybody. You do not discipline anybody. Nothing. No discipline at all. That is what you call the third group, liberal churches. They preach a liberal message which can be accepted by anybody. No sweat. No problem. Just listen, say, amen, hallelujah, glory!
See,
one thing these liberal churches, they do not speak is, listen carefully, is about the judgment of God on sin. They never speak about the judgment that is coming on sin. They never speak about the consequences of sin. David was forgiven. Yes, he repented. But the consequence he had to face. One boy raped the other daughter, one son, and one son killed the other one. And he had to leave the throne and get into the forest, run from the city. And God said, I will bring trouble in your family.
But I thought he forgave.
Yes. But the consequence, do people know? I will tell, 99% of the times, this is not preached. In the liberal church. So you know where you are, where you are going to be, you have to evaluate and protect your spirit. Because there is the true church and there is the false church. Always remember, not every church is true. This is very, very important. So they never talk about the judgment on sin. They don't like to even to mention sin at any time. And they never preach the message of repentance. I have always told you, Jezebel, the spirit of witchcraft, hates the message of repentance. Jesus preached repentance. That was his first word when he got baptized. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist, before he preached repentance, the disciples were commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance. Paul preached repentance. The 70 went and preached repentance. The church has no authority to tell anyone to believe the good news without telling them to repent. Yeah. That's why there is no true salvation comes every, you know, in a meeting. 1,000 may put up their hands and the balance after a couple of months you see about 10. Where are these people? All those people who filled up the cards. Because the word was not preached. It is not a cheap gospel, no. It is simple, but it is not cheap. Thank you, O Lord. It is very expensive. It cost the very life of the eternal Son of God. Amen? Oh yes. It's very life. In all the above three cases, Jesus is misrepresented. And once you have another Jesus, you are going to receive another spirit, which is not the Holy Spirit, and you are going to have a different gospel, which is not the gospel mentioned in the New Testament. How many of you seriously agree in your heart that the United States and Canada are full of this kind of message? Very, very cheap gospel they preach. Yeah. Big churches, large ones, people are so comfortable, and they have made the Sunday service, you know what, as what? Like the Israelites. The Sunday service has become a golden calf. And they don't look for the presence of God. Or what is this? It's a social gathering. It's a social club. We meet every week. There is no power or presence of God. There is no conviction. There is no repentance. There is no deliverance, and there is no feeding of the sheep with the strong meat of the Word of God. Are you all listening? Now, this kind of a liberal preaching, presenting another Jesus, which is not of the Bible, another gospel, is increasing rapidly everywhere these days. Jesus warned us very, very sternly. The apostles came and asked him, Lord, what are the signs? What is going to be at the end, the last days? Can you tell us? We like to know. You're talking all the time about end times. Go with me to Matthew 24. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 24. Please let these words sink into your hearts, brothers and sisters. For we do not know about tomorrow. All what we have is now in the evening. By God's grace, we have been given an opportunity to come and sit and listen to the Word of God. Isn't that right? Now, Matthew 24. So they asked him, right? Verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall all these things be, and what shall be the sign of his coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed, or beware, that no man deceive you. Look at me here. Jesus never spoke about the signs as wars. He never spoke about there's going to be fights, there's going to be betrayals, there are going to be famines. No. The first thing he opens his mouth and says to the disciples, he says, beware that no one deceives you. That means the spirit of deception is going to be on the top. People are going to get deceived left side and right side. Deception is going to be very, very high and strong. So, believers, saints of God, how much we have to take action against protecting our spirit and our minds, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 2 onwards, that I am so frightened about you that you may get corrupted in your mind by Satan, just like Eve. So we need to protect ourselves from all kinds of another gospel that is being presented everywhere now, and it creeps into every church. An easy gospel. And as I said, they are only able to listen one kind of preaching. Just, you know, bucking them up. Oh, don't worry, just go on. God is going to be with you. Stand. You have better see whether the true Jesus of the Bible is being presented. Anywhere you attend, anywhere you go, watch out from corruption of your mind. Because you believe that, you are going to receive another spirit. I know, I have experienced, some people will visit another church, they have to go and sit there for 1 hour under somebody's preaching. They come out with another spirit, sister. Yeah. You cannot escape. I go into the fish market and that man cuts the fish and everything. I come back home and Shamin tells me, I smell fish on you.
That's going to be there. What about the evil spirits over there? The spirits that are operating, the deceptive spirits in that church. You will pick up that. These are very, very important things. We are not studying this for knowledge. This is life and death. This is life and death. If you have believed in the living Lord and you know that you are saved within your heart, you had better sell anything to protect yourself these days, because Jesus said, deception is going to be high. Peter, John, listen to what I say. Deception. Say to it, not one person, no man, no woman, no child, no pastor, no evangelist, nobody, not one elder. Say to it that no one deceives you. That's what he said. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Are you listening? First Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Here the Holy Spirit is saying, and Paul is, well, everything what he wrote was through the Holy Spirit, and now here he says, now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly or explicitly. The Holy Spirit himself is saying that in the latter times, what are the latter times, Brother J? This is the time. That in the latter times, these days, what is he saying? Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of demons. Now look at here. The Holy Spirit is saying to Timothy, the young pastor, know for sure that some Christians who are born again, are you listening? They are going to depart from faith, listening to the doctrines of demons. Demons have doctrines. Believing them, and they go away from the Lord. Who said that? The Holy Spirit. Now he says here, some shall depart from the faith. Now look at it. Look at me, please. How can anybody depart from the faith unless one time they were in the faith? You didn't get it. How can you get out of Canada unless you are inside first? You didn't get that also. Now these people were not heathen. They were born again Christians. One time they were in the faith. And now suddenly some demonic spirit attack came, or they went to some meeting, or something happened. They listened to that spirit and they believed it. They went away from the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing another gospel. Are you all listening to this? How dangerous is this? How frightening is this? And here we just, you know, neglect our word. The study of the word, the meditation of the word, and excuse ourselves. Oh God, understand, because there's too much of work. It's not so in Sri Lanka. It's not so in Jamaica. Oh, here is life is different, Pastor. Devil is not going to wait. That's no excuse. Jesus said, if your eye is giving trouble, plug it off. Isn't it? So some of these people, those who have been in the faith before, they have now listened to the demons and they have gone away. See, the Holy Spirit here is not talking about unbelievers. He's talking about people who have been believers. And then, in a particular time, they were deceived by spirits and they went away. Some friend can come, some other preacher can come, somebody, you can read a book. Yes! Be careful what book you are reading and what cassette you are listening to, what music you are listening to, or I tell you. And the Holy Spirit is warning us, some last day, do you want to be among the some? Only two people are saying no. Do you want to be among the some? No. No. It will cost our life. You started well, and we must finish it well, isn't it? The devil, even the devil started well, right? But he didn't finish it. Devil was a worship leader. And halfway through, he got puffed up. So, these people, they probably listened to the false teaching through some people, demons still speaking and teaching through them, and got deceived and went away. Verse 9, chapter, Matthew 24, verse 9. We are almost coming to the end, at least this part. Verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Some of us may think, oh, well, it doesn't concern us. Do you know that this is happening in Pakistan, in some places in India, in China, in Iraq, and several other places? Christians are being butchered right now. Right now, as I speak these words, they're being nailed, they're being burned. What Jesus is telling you is taking place now. It has only not caught up with Canada and the United States yet, but it will come. Worldwide persecution will come. You know who will do that? You know who will do that? Shall I tell you? You want to know? I'll tell you later. But because that concerns the other study, the continuation. So let me finish this before. Now, verse 10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Is it happening now? Yes. Oh, yes. And many false prophets shall arise, not some, and shall deceive some, no many. So deception again, Jesus is mentioning. Many false teachers, prophets are going to rise, and many Christians are going to be deceived. So how strong you should be, you and I should be in the word, isn't it? How strong we should be. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many, that is the Christian, shall wax cold. Because lawlessness will increase. You know, all kinds of problems. My God, what has happened to this man's heart? Oh dear, this is devilish. How can they do that? And Christians, true Christians, the love of God, the love is in the Greek, it says agape, which is God kind of love. That means born again Christian. That love will become cold, not effective. And it's happening now. It's happening now. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. Now, the person who is born again, who will hold on to the word of God, the Holy Spirit, remain faithful and going on with endurance, he shall preserve his salvation. It's not that you are not saved now. Jesus is saying you are saved, but you got to endure and keep that salvation unto the end. Only then you will deliver your soul, your mind. By your endurance, you shall possess your soul. You have to endure. These deceptions will come. You got to study. You got to pray. You got to join with those who are on fire for God. You can't be just seated and be satisfied coming on a Sunday and shake hands with a few people and then just going off. No. No. Many, Jesus says, many, many are going to be deceived by false teachers and false prophets. He never said some. See? People who depend on their own intelligence, Christians, pastors, evangelists, they say, well, I got experience, I got that, I have been a pastor for 20 years, I have been an evangelist, I've been a director, I've been an overseer, I've been that, I've been this. These are the first people who get deceived. Why? Pride goes before deception. But if you say, Lord, please help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, please. Cover me, Lord, from every deception. You know, sometimes I pray for some people like Derek Prince or John Hagee or Pastor Ben Hinn. You know what? Most of the time I say, Lord, protect him from every deception. Protect him. Cover them.
Because Satan will be planning and sending timely, day by day, to deceive him, to deceive his wife, to deceive his children, to upset, to bring division in his family, to bring sickness. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. You see, deception. So people who depend on experience and all that, Jesus never depended on experience. Jesus never said, oh, well, get out, you devil. I know that I am the Son of God. He never said that, no. He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. Yet down to earth, he was clinging on to the word of God, even though he was the eternal Son of God. See, pride is the lever that opens the door, that lever which opens the door for deception to come in. Pride. See, we need to endure unto the end. Unto the end. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be delivered. See, the same shall be delivered. That's exactly what the Bible says. It is not enough for us to say, well, I am born again. I got born again in 1985, 1974. I got born again in 1965. That is not. And don't you think that everybody who speaks in tongues will enter the kingdom of God? Far from it. The Bible does not say those who speak in tongues shall enter the kingdom of God. No! In fact, I believe with one servant of God, in these latter days, there are many are going to speak in tongues. Because there are going to be many deceptions. Oh yes. It is the most easiest thing for the devil to imitate the tongues. The most easiest thing. But Jesus said, you will know them by their tongues? No. By their fruit. By their fruit. Oh yes. So we need to counterattack deception. And the best number one thing against deception is the infallible word of God. And you have to depend on the Holy Spirit to take you from one scripture to the other. Because if you and I don't depend on the Holy Spirit for guidance, for studying, for meditating, the devil can pull out one scripture out of context and then deceive you, and then you go and do something else. That's how many denominations started. They take something out of context. And then they go and start another organization, another church. Oh, we don't need pork, you know. We cow our heads. And, you know, lots of other things. I'm not criticizing or blaming these people. That's all. But comparing scripture with scripture. Jesus said, when he comes, he will lead you to all the truth, all scripture. Not one scripture. You know, he took one scripture out and then told Jesus, the devil, why don't you jump? It is written that they will bear you up. He will give charge to the angels. It is written. How will it be? See, when we listen to them jump from the tower, they have the funeral service down. So brothers and sisters, this is the formation, how people, faithful people, born again people, spirit baptized people can get deviated from Jesus Christ and believing another Jesus halfway through, a diluted message, a diluted gospel. Receiving another spirit, I'm talking of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, another gospel, and they go away from faith. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to remain in His word, that He may keep us in that word to continue. How many of you know in your hearts that these things are happening now? And the rapture is about to take place. One of these days. Yeah. There is no prophecy yet to be fulfilled. One of these days. When they say, well, peace and harmony. Yeah. we're going to do that, we're going to do this and that project and this project and all that, and people start fighting with each other and all that in the church, arguing, quarreling and all that. Gone. Set of people gone away. Disappeared. But it's always going to be. You know what it's like inside the subways on a morning or in an evening when the office closes? You know what it's like inside the Scarborough Center with the rush of people? Have you ever imagined when the rapture takes place over there, what will happen over there? Oh, chill. It's going to be chaos. Chaos. Total chaos. So, brothers and sisters, now after this, I'm going to be, by the help of the Holy Spirit, God willing, we will study about the two religions. There are only two religions, and we are going to compare the true church and the false church. Right? The true church and the false church. Okay, I want to say this as I said it at the very beginning. If you have not grasped whatever that I have now said, if you didn't understand, let me say, at least take this. There are only two churches. One is true, the other one is false. The true church is the bride. The false church is the harlot. She is the harlot. And may I finish this? The enemy of the true church is the false church. Always.